This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So it's Friday. Naturally, I'm here with Nudia Hernandez, host of Nudia in the Afternoon on our sister station, Vocalo. Hey, Nudia, welcome.
Happy Friday.
Yes. So today we're going to talk about an artist that you interviewed who's going to be performing at the Pitchfork Music Festival this weekend. It actually starts today. Are you going?
Yes, I will be there. I'll be living there. That is my home this weekend.
Okay. All right. Are you covering it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we'll be there. I'll be there with Vocalo all 3 days, you know, getting the performances, getting the behind the scenes. I know we're going to do some fashion stuff because the stuff at Pitchfork is always, the fashion is always giving at Pitchfork.
Okay.
It's a different type of festival, I feel.
I love it.
Also, we're going to be following the trends this year. I know Pitchfork has made a lot of changes. They have now changed their layout of the stages.
Huh.
So the front section is VIP.
Okay.
So GA can no longer be at the front of the stage.
Okay.
Yeah, they've made a lot of interesting changes this year.
I have been to a festival like this before, and I did not appreciate the fact that GA could not be close to the front of the stage.
You know, the first year Sueños put on their festival,
yeah,
they did that. And it did not look good because the VIP, you know, the tickets are higher. People didn't buy as much. So there was kind of a big empty chunk,
yeah,
at the front of the stage. So it was a little bit weird, you know?
Yeah. And then it's just like, for the rest of us, we would love to be geeked, you know, high energy at the front of the stage. Just because we bought GA doesn't mean, you know, like we shouldn't be able to get up there.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I was like, there are other perks you can give VIP. It doesn't have to be just,
yeah,
you know, like
golf carts, drive me around.
Sure.
Honestly,
hammocks,
I pay.
You know,
hammocks, okay.
Separate area for leisure and,
yeah,
massages. That's what they do at Movement Festival in Detroit every year. So
they give, yeah, you massages?
You can get, yeah, you can sign up for like a chair massage.
That is VIP. That's real VIP.
That is giving.
Yeah, that is real VIP.
Okay, so I know you're going to be working, but anybody you're excited to see?
I mean, this sounds cheesy. This is going to sound corny, but I can't wait to see Carly Rae Jepsen.
Okay.
I mean,
don't know them.
Call Me Maybe.
Oh,
hey,
I
just met
you. Oh, yes.
And this is, yeah.
I know
so,
that song.
Yeah. So she's, I mean, she's just so, like, fun. And she's also a vampire, I think, because she doesn't look like she's aged a day. And hearing that song with people in a crowd, mm-hmm, is, like, the most, like,
sing-along
euphoria experience ever. It's super, super fun.
Okay.
But also Grandmaster Flash.
Ooh.
I am super excited for his performance.
Yes.
I mean, he's one of the three founders of hip-hop when it comes to DJing. You,
mm-hmm,
know, it's been Bada, Kool Herc, and Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's literally a legend. So I can't wait to see him.
Okay. So the person that you talk to is...
Yeah, Kara Jackson.
Kara Jackson. She is a celebrated multimedia artist, and she's playing on Saturday. She's from the area, from Oak Park, and her music is like, how would you describe it?
Everyone describes her music like differently.
Yeah.
Like some people call it folk, and I think I asked her during the interview, and I don't feel like it was like a straight answer,
nah,
but
artists
just
don't
like,
ever give you a straight answer.
It's very like, you know, mystical. It does give you those folk R&B, you know.
It has
like,
some spoken word to it.
Yeah, she's a poet laureate.
Yeah.
She was like the youth poet laureate. This is the first time she's performing.
And she says some of her homies are going to be on stage with her, too.
Yeah, she said she has some surprises.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to a little bit of Kara's music. Here is a song off her latest album, which is called Why Does the Earth Give Us People to Love? This is a song I really liked. It's called Dickhead Blues. Let's hear it.
I'm useful. Damn the dickhead blues. When you're feeling as broke as a bottle of booze. Damn the dickhead blues. La like a soda straw strangling you.
So that was just a little piece of a really long dynamic song. Tell me, how did you come across Kara and why were you excited to talk to her?
I mean, she's just been in the music scene for so long in Chicago. And again, like winning awards and things like that. And her voice is so unique.
She has like a deep voice, but it's also airy in a way.
Yeah, it's really, yes. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying because it's like, it's not baritone deep.
No.
But it's.
Even though she can go there. I heard her go there. Yeah.
But I definitely had heard her music a lot. Pitchfork has reviewed her albums before in the past. Nice. We were able to get her in, and I was super excited that we got to talk to her.
Okay, let's listen to her interview. This is Nudia talking to Kara Jackson, who's performing Saturday at Pitchfork.
I feel like Pitchfork is such a, like, familial festival for me in general. Like, my family and I just go there in general. Over the years, we've always gone, and we've seen, like, Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu and Jamila Woods, another local act and person I love. So it's really always a family affair. And this time it's no different. It's just, you know, I'm on the hot seat this time. So
is it a little bit more nerve-wracking? I mean, you've done festivals now, like, all over the world. Is it more nerve-wracking when you do something in your hometown?
I think it is, honestly. I feel like there's a certain kind of ambiguity that you get when you're in a place that's just so far from home. Like, you know, none of these people know me, and I don't even speak the same language as them sometimes. So you can kind of, like, be more mysterious and just, like, there's not the same attachment. But at home, it's like you're performing in front of friends and sometimes former teachers. Like, one time my high school teacher was at one of my shows and it was so amazing. But I was like, oh my God, that's like nerve-wracking in a different way, because you're kind of like, it's like a talent show more than it is like a show. It's like performing in front of all your friends at school. It's just like a little embarrassing sometimes. But I also think that hometown shows are like the sweetest, because you have like the energy of people who know you, and like you're stepping on stage in a place where people know who you are to an extent. So it definitely has a whole different energy than any other type of show.
You're from Oak Park, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so born and raised Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in Oak Park my whole life. I was just talking earlier, I've always lived really close to the Green Line. So I've been coming to Chicago for art-related things since, you know, I could remember.
And that's another thing I was wondering, because, you know, you look at your bio and, you know, singer, songwriter, poet, you're a poet laureate. What came first? Like, did they all happen at the same, or like, what was your first, like, kind of passion? Was it the poetry or was it the singing, you know?
Yeah, I really started singing first. I've always loved music, and my parents raised us really immersed in sounds and music. But I think I've also always had a love for, like, language and words in some capacity. So I got into poetry really seriously, like, in high school when I started competing in Louder Than a Bomb and, like, doing poetry stuff. But I've always been really, like, into music that's, like, lyrical and word heavy. Like, I've always loved Joni Mitchell, and my parents always played, like, Jim Croce and just, like, old folk musicians. So I've always just loved that type of music, and that's just kind of the music I ended up making.
And when did you realize you were good at it? You know, like, when were you like, hold on, I'm better than everyone else? You know, when were you like, hold on, I'm actually, like, really good at this?
I don't know. I mean, I think I've always been a little oblivious to it. I've always loved to make music, and I know that that's something that I've loved to do for a long time, but I didn't really think that it was going to be something that would resonate with other people, like what I was doing. And it took going to, you know, slams and, like, open mics growing up and being at Young Chicago Authors and just being around people who were my peers who were, like, you know, hyping me up, and, like, that genuine kind of support from, like, my friends and my peers, like people like Kaina and Sen who helped me make the album, like people who are older than me just kind of ushering me in and telling me, oh, you belong in this space. It took that outside kind of validation, because I think for me, I was just like, I'm just a girl making songs, you know? But yeah, it really took, like, community support.
I feel like every artist that has come through here has talked about young Chicago authors. Why do you think it's so important for, you know, artists in Chicago to be a part of like groups like that?
I think community is really everything for you as an artist. And also, I just think at a really young age, so many people were ushered through spaces like Young Chicago Authors and just like being supported by older people, giving, kind of showing you the ropes. I think mentorship and having like a lineage of people to really call on is really important as an artist, to not just name yourself, but to be able to name like the artists that inspire you and people who are around you, helping you kind of just figure out who you are and lift yourself up. I think having that outlet as a teenager is so important for everyone, but it's just your teenage years are filled with so much angst and just so many things are happening, and to be able to gather with a lot of like-minded people and a lot of people who are just figuring themselves out through art was such a like valuable outlet for me as a teen. And so I think it just gave me a foundation of who, like what I could really use to process my feelings. And then also seeing people doing it for a living, like you kind of don't know that that's a real possibility and a tangible thing till you're meeting adults who are saying like, oh, you can be an artist or you can be a writer and that's like a real job. I think just encountering that as a young age can really change how people see themselves and how they chase their dreams.
Has your family always been supportive of what you do? Because I think for sometimes it is difficult. They want to encourage you to follow your dreams, but also they're like, we want you to be able to pay your rent, you know?
Yeah, that's huge. But my parents have always been really supportive of me making music, and my mom actually always wanted her kids to make music because she never got the opportunity to be in like music lessons and stuff. So she like made us take piano as kids. But I think that they've always, you know, my parents are in their 60s, so they've always been really practical about things. Like I had to go to college and get a degree, and like they've always placed a big emphasis on being educated and like going to school too. So I definitely had to like pay my dues and like do all the normal things and whatever. But they've always, you know, let me express myself through art and through music.
And then now that they see everything happening, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
I think she's got it. I think she's going to be good. I was, you know, looking over your bio, and what is this? You're like the U.S. National Youth Poet Laureate? Like, what is that, a title?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting title. There's a new Youth Poet Laureate every year, essentially. So I was the laureate between 2019 and 2020. So kind of as the pandemic started, I was like ending my term. But it's a really interesting position because you're kind of chosen by like a certain panel of different poets, but the ceremony, at least for us, like every year they do it at the Library of Congress. So I had to like be in this really fancy space, and like it's really official, and you're in DC. And it was cool because Jellystone Robinson, who was the laureate right before me, is one of my best friends, and we had no idea that we were both gonna serve that role. So it kind of became a like family celebration. But yeah, it's just really, you represent the country through your poems and through your crafts, really. And for me, it just looked like doing workshops and performing in different places and different colleges, like around the country and stuff.
So you go on like tour. It's like a Miss America, right? It's like make
a
all
little
these
bit. Yeah, it's like the Miss America of poetry.
I was going to ask you, we're going to get into your, you know, debut album. But I was going to ask you, how would you describe your music? Because I've read lots of articles. People describe your music in different ways. Like some people say folk, some, you know, like how do you describe the music that you make?
Yeah, I definitely can see my music being described as folk music. I've always grown up listening to all types of music. So I think while the foundation feels like folk, and I really just write songs mostly with me and my guitar, I think that there's so many other influences that show themselves. Like I've loved jazz and R&B and just all types of music. So I think those influences definitely like bleed out in the music too. So it's like folk music that's inspired by like all types of stuff. So I kind of describe it usually as that, but definitely gotten like a lot of, I think genre is such a weird concept these days because so many artists don't really exactly see themselves as just one genre. So I definitely find it interesting to see the different ways that the album is described, because I think you could describe it in like a lot of different ways.
Did you ever, you know, being from Chicago or like being in the Chicago music scene, did you ever feel pressure to like rap or make hip hop music just because it's so prevalent in Chicago? I'm always curious.
Yeah, I definitely did. I had a rap phase, actually. I was talking about this on Twitter a few days ago. I grew up like in the era of like when I saw Chance the Rapper like become famous in real time, like growing up with that and having seeing like No Name and Saba and just like all these really cool people at open mics and stuff. Like, I took a stab at rapping for a while because I was so influenced by No Name and I just was like obsessed with her. So there's definitely some things in the archives, deep in the archives. But
we need to get those. We need to get those clips. And then were you like, you know what? It's just going to be, you know, that's going to, I'm going to leave that to No Name.
Yeah. You never know. Like I sometimes get tempted to rap again just because I love rap music so much. So I think it comes out, you know, if you've had like a drink or something. But I just think that fundamentally I always made music with my guitar and it just got to a point where I just knew that was kind of me at my most comfortable, and making folk music, I think I was a little embarrassed about it at first because it felt like so like antiquated and like, okay, like it's everyone is like rapping and doing their thing. And like I was kind of like shy about it. But it, like, it was another thing of my friends supporting me and just like always really taking the time to like invest in what I do and my friends just supporting what I'm doing. So once I kind of got comfortable performing in front of them, it gave me like the confidence to just be myself musically in front of everyone.
And now this debut album, you know, it got released in 2023. I mean, there's been lots of reviews. It was named Best New Music by Pitchfork. You know, and it's funny, you're actually doing Pitchfork now. But the album is called Why Does the Earth Give Us People to Love? First of all, I thought that was such a cool name. I'm like, I feel like, you know, if Tumblr was still in, that would be like, right? That'd be like my Tumblr name. You do vocals, guitar, banjo, and piano. How many instruments do you know how to play?
Like, I mean, guitar is my main one, but I have always loved like the banjo, and in college I did a little bit of the harp too, so I've always loved like string instruments. At first,
that's crazy.
I never thought I could play an instrument until I got my first guitar, because I was like, my brother plays the trombone and the piano, he's super good at. I'm not good at the piano. Like, I'm playing piano on the album, but like very chill stuff.
The harp is like one of the hardest instruments to learn how to play.
It's so hard, but it's one of my favorite instruments. So I finally just like got into lessons at my college and I was like just super excited. I'm trying to get back into them actually, but I just love string instruments. Like, they've always made the most sense to me out of all of them. Like, I tried to play the saxophone, failed miserably. Like, me and the piano have our own
relationship.
Relationship, but I feel like strings have just always been like what does it for me. I don't really know why, but.
And so you're going to be at Pitchfork. What day, what stage, so people could, you know, clock it, make sure to check you out?
I'm on Saturday and I play at 2:30 and I'm on the green stage. So I'm really excited.
When you become somebody's bandit and their heart becomes your loot, what kind of player does that make you?
That was Nudia Hernandez talking to Kara Jackson. So nice, Nudia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kara Jackson is performing at Pitchfork in Chicago's Union Park this weekend. You can get more information at pitchforkmusicfestival.com. And you can hear more interviews like this one on our sister station Vocalo at vocalo.org, or listen to your radio at 91.1 FM. You can catch Nudia in the afternoon live every weekday from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m. And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And a special shout out to Adorna Migude, Lisa Labiz, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon news episodes. We also get help from Cassie Walker-Burke, Sophie Hernandez, Simi Onidis, and Dave Miska. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Have a lovely weekend. Maybe I'll see you at Pitchfork. If not, I'll talk to you on Monday.